It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. My name is Matt Pauly. We're very happy to be able to welcome back onto the program. He is Joe Sheehan, of course, part of, not just part of, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, which is 20% off right now. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Follow him on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan. Joe, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
It's 8 o'clock on the first night without baseball in like, playoff baseball in like 15, 16 days. So I'm just kind of walking around my apartment. I don't know what I'm doing myself.
Well, I'm glad we can at least talk a little bit of baseball with you to get you out of whatever funk that you're in here at the moment without baseball. And you're going to have this for a few days. I understand the business of baseball on TV and the business of sports on TV, and you got to lock in the World Series dates and everything. So it's not that I'm angry about it, but it's kind of a bummer that we got to go the five straight days without baseball.
And they did make an effort this year. Had both series finished by Saturday. Basically, if the Dodgers had beaten the Mets last week, they would have started the series Tuesday night. They actually did build in to avoid the really long rest. It just happened that it took the Dodgers six games to eliminate the Mets. We will probably see this continue to happen. They'll have basically a schedule and then a contingent schedule so that you don't end up with that full week off. And we'll see what happens. If people get annoyed about that, I have a friend of mine who, when I told him this, he was like, wait, so people don't know when the first game of the World Series is? I said, well, they know it's one of 2 days. And it's not like the Super Bowl where a whole bunch of people come from out of town to go to it. Like, if you suddenly decide the Super Bowl was going to be on Wednesday, you'd probably have a problem. I don't think this is a negative for too many fans.
Other than just not being able to watch baseball on any given night. The cynics will sit here and say, oh, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers. It's the two big market teams. It's the two big money teams. That's the way Major League Baseball wanted it. Do you have any response to that?
Why were they so bad at doing this last year when it was the Diamondbacks and Rangers, or, you know, the year it was the Cubs and the then Indians, or the year that it was Kansas City and the Giants? I mean, if MLB was rigging it, it actually does rig the playoffs. They do a really poor job of rigging the playoffs. The Yankees haven't been in the World Series in 15 years. We haven't had a Yankees-Dodgers series in 43. So I'm going to stop short of profanity here and just say these people should shut up.
And for me, I look at these teams, especially when it came to the Final Four. Yeah, three of those four teams had large payrolls, but they were also teams that did things very smart, that make good decisions, that could get good infrastructure and have lots of smart baseball people in the organization. Money is a part of it, but as we learned with the Mets last year, money doesn't buy you wins. You got to make good decisions with that money.
No, I think the Mets are a great example of a team that has done so much great player development over the last decade. You go back to their last trip to the World Series, and you had that Matt Harvey, Jacob deGrom, Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard was traded for as a prospect. All of those players were homegrown. You look at this team. Mark Vientos was their best hitter. He's homegrown. You look at Francisco Alvarez. Didn't have a great series, but had a couple of big hits yesterday. You look at Brandon Nimmo. All of these teams. And this is the way it has to work now. You have to build that player development core. You need that group of 5, 6 players who are going to give you 15 to 20 wins above replacement and only make $12 million between them. And all of these teams have had that. I mean, yes, I'm not saying these teams don't have high payrolls. I'm saying that in modern baseball, it's not about that high payroll. It's about player development and the core. And of course, the Guardians are an example of a team that doesn't have a high payroll but does have that core. These conversations we're having, Matt, are just very 15 years old. It's like we started having them during when Bud Selig was commissioner and trying to turn baseball into a heaven for small markets. And we haven't stopped having them, even though we have massive amounts of revenue sharing now. We have massive amounts of national revenue. All of the rule changes over the last 15 years at the industry level have gone towards leveling the playing field. But I don't think the conversation has caught up to that.
I would agree with that. I would also hope that the Cardinals fans, which is almost everybody listening to this right now, heard what you just said, because the Cardinals have let it go a little bit from a player development standpoint. They're trying to rebuild that now with Chaim Bloom. And to your point, if you are not graduating impact players from your minor league system, you do things like sign Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn as Band-Aids. And if everything doesn't go right, you end up missing the playoffs. And almost no matter what, you're not an overly compelling team.
There's a great example, because what the Cardinals used to do is, if you even forget stars, they were really good at bringing along fairly low-profile prospects who would suddenly show up and be 1 to 3 win players for no money. I think of John Jay as my classic example here. But, you know, all the various second basemen they went through, Clapp and Hart and guys like that, or you think about, you know, what Tommy Edman gave them a couple of, you know, in the few years before the trade. Like, these weren't guys who were top 10 prospects. These weren't guys who were drafted high. Remember, the Cardinals don't draft high because the Cardinals are never really bad. It's not like they have a top five pick. Even the Dodgers, even the Yankees, even the Red Sox have had these top five, top 10 picks over the last 30 years. The Cardinals really haven't had them. So they're doing all of this without the benefit of not just the high draft pick itself, but the additional money you get to sign players through the godforsaken system that MLB has now for the draft. So if you stop developing those players, you've got obviously a front of roster problem and you have a back of roster problem. And, you know, I think we saw it collapse last year. Everything kind of went wrong in 2023. This year's team basically played to expectations. I think I had them at 85 and 77, maybe 86, and they fell a little bit short of that. And they're going to make a lot of changes now. I mean, I'm a big fan of Heim Bloom, so I think they're on the right track here. But it's not a one-year thing, and you have to be willing to do the 2 to 3 year rebuild where, you know, Heim got undercut in Boston. You go back to, we're going to hire you to reshape the entire organization, and then 2.5 years in, they fire him. It's like, well, no, if you're going to say this is a rebuild, you have to commit to the rebuild. You can't get mad because you didn't make the playoffs 2 straight years.
We're talking with Joe Sheehan from the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. I think it's interesting when you look at the two managers that are still alive in the baseball playoffs, because some Dodgers fans have been calling for Roberts to go away. They've won just one World Series in the COVID year. They've underperformed at times. A lot of Yankees fans wanted to see them move on from Boone multiple times over the last few years. Each organization sticks with their guy, and now they're playing against each other in the World Series.
Yeah, playoff baseball is such a different animal from regular season baseball now, more so than it's been previously in baseball history when you only had one round or two rounds. Now you have 3 rounds, sometimes 4, and it's just there's a stress level that builds up. There's a workload thing that builds up. You see teams putting 4 or 5 guys on their roster that barely played for them the entire season, and it takes a while to get those reps to get better at it. And Roberts is, for me, my favorite example of this. Roberts was someone who would make the big mistake in the playoffs for a long time. And if you look at the team that the decisions he's made this year, he simply hasn't done that. He hasn't made the Dodgers more likely to lose a game. I do think, to some extent, getting the DH in the National League has helped him. Again, it gets him out of some of those sticky decisions about whether to leave a pitcher in or when to go to a reliever, because you're taking the pitcher batting element away from it. So I think he was certainly helped by that. But Roberts' strength has always been 10 p.m. to 7 p.m., by which I mean everything that isn't the stuff we see. The personnel management. He's got a lot of Dusty Baker in him. He's got a lot of Joe Torre in him, which is just, he keeps things calm internally. And if the trade-off is he's not Earl Weaver in the dugout, I think it's been worth it for the Dodgers.
Some of these moves, I mean, there's a lot of talk in St. Louis today about Tommy Edman because he's the NLCS MVP. They take the opportunity to put him in the cleanup spot to try to get him a couple at bats against the lefty Manaea. They've done some other things with Edmund since he got there. It feels like the Dodgers, whether it's Roberts making the decision to bat him fourth or whether it's the organization just looking at who he is and how to make him the best version of himself, the Dodgers have done some things with Edmund to really help him out.
Yeah, good managers are always looking at what a player can do and not what a player can't do. Edmund played good defense at a few positions, a much better hitter, obviously, from the right side. He can run the bases. That was a good trade. I think the Cardinals did well in that trade as well. I think Fetty's going to help them down the stretch. He'll help them next year. Edmund had not played an inning for the team. He had the wrist injury from hell. So I kind of understand them trying to get something a little more certainty. Plus, the Cardinals have a whole bunch of these, you know, mid-league players on the roster. You look at, you know, Brendan Donovan's being squeezed out of his spot. You know, Mason Wynn taking over at shortstop kind of edged Edmund out of the job he might have had. So there were a lot of reasons why I think trading Edmund made sense for the Cardinals. But it's what can this player do for us? The Cardinals, historically, have actually been pretty good at this. Tony La Russa, for all his flaws, was very good at saying, how can this player help me win? I do think Ollie Marmol has some of that. I am encouraged that he's going to get another year here. I think there were some positives this year, and we'll see how that turns out with, can he manage a roster that's certainly going to be in transition? But that's a key. And the other thing to look at here is, you know, managing is just so much more about pitching now than it is about hitting. Teams just don't have very many offensive options. Benches are short. They're generally weak. You know, they have a backup catcher on there, a backup infielder. Mariners aren't making tactical decisions offensively the way they did for 100 years of baseball history. All it is now is bullpen management. Rogers has been better at that. Boone has been very good at that since the start. And I think that'll be an interesting subplot to this series. Both guys, good bullpen managers, maybe warrant early in their playoff career, probably not likely to make the big mistake.
Tell our listeners about the Joe Sheehan Baseball newsletter and the deal that you've got going on right now.
Yeah, it's 14 years old now. I was with Prospectus for 13 years and started doing the newsletter in 2010. And I'm as surprised as anybody I've gotten to do it for this long. But we've got thousands of subscribers. If you enjoy reading about baseball, definitely have a stathead perspective. But I love the game. I think that comes through. You can check it out, joesheehan.com. I don't actually have a link to the discount on the chat page. You got to go to Twitter, joe_sheehan. 20% off through the start of the World Series. I guarantee you, you will get your money's worth. Nobody has ever complained to me that they hadn't gotten their money's worth. Some people say I write too much. That's certainly a problem, especially this time of year. But people who get the newsletter seem to love it. You also get access. If you're frustrated with what Twitter has become, there's a Slack workspace attached to the newsletter where subscribers can go and just talk ball. And honestly, it's been going for 7 years now, and people absolutely love it. A lot of KMOX listeners, listeners are on there as well. So check that out, joesheehan.com, Twitter, joe_sheehan for the discount. And I hope you sign up and join us in the Slack to talk about the World Series.
And Sheehan is spelled S-H-E-E-H-A-N, just in case anybody can't figure that out. So joe_sheehan. Joe, we always appreciate you being so gracious with your time, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Joe Sheehan joining us on the program. Again, you can get 20% off his baseball newsletter on the link on Twitter. And his Twitter handle is @Joe_SHEEHAN. We're going to switch gears. We'll talk some college football. Interesting weekend. Really interesting weekend when it comes to Missouri and Illinois. They both win, but the storyline between the two teams, very different. We'll discuss that next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.